So today we're going to continue on in the series of Lift. And as you recall from 2 weeks ago, we talked about this idea of lifting into a position, lifting in position, lifting in prayer, lifting in power. And those were the 3 points from 2 weeks ago, lifting in position, that God has put us in a different position. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We're going to go a little bit deeper into this subject for this morning. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, and it says this, "And you," that means you and me, "he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God," aren't you glad that phrase is there? "But God, who is rich in mercy," remember, treating you better than you deserve, "because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that it has the power to change us, to change the way we think, the way we act, the way we speak. Father, to transform us by the renewing of our minds. And so, Father, today we thank you for that holy written word, and we thank you for the Holy Ghost that's here to change and to teach and to guide. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now turn with me, if you would, to the first chapter of 1 Samuel. That is in the Old Testament. The first chapter of 1 Samuel. We're going to look at a woman named Hannah. And we're going to look at her story a bit when it comes to this idea of lifting in position, lifting in prayer, lifting in power. We're going to look and see how she really, under the old covenant, walked some of this out, even with the light that they had at that time. Jesus had not come yet, so they were still under that old covenant, that old law, and so therefore, there was still a lot more restrictions. But I want you to notice there are some things about Hannah's life that we can glean from, that I believe that will be an encouragement to you in your own prayer life. This particular series has been designed to get you into a different mindset when it comes to prayer, to actually think of yourself being seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's a different place in prayer than being begging and being somehow unworthy to come into his presence. But because of what Jesus did through the cross, through the death, burial, and resurrection, of what he did, we are able to have access into that place, to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. I was blessed to find out that Pastor Christine and Abigail actually did what I suggested, and maybe some of you might have done the same thing. The illustration I was talking to you about, that if you take something, maybe put your name on it, right? Put it inside the Bible, and then just think about yourself being in Christ. And going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, "If any man be in Christ," that's you. You're in Christ. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." And the passage that we just read in Ephesians talks about you were dead in your transgressions. You did live according to that way of living, but now, thanks be to God, there's a different way to live. There's a different way to interact with this world. And so We're going to learn some things from Hannah herself. But first, I want to just encourage you, go back if you didn't listen to that particular message and do that for yourself. Put your name on a piece of paper. Put it in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 and put it there. I believe that that will be a blessing to you. Looks like we've got a couple people waving their hand that they've done that. That's awesome. So if you're watching online, that's a good way to interact with this sermon. All right. So 1 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to see a story about a wonderful woman who I believe is just an awesome person of faith. We're going to look in verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Rephaim, Sophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, and the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, and the son of Zoph, and an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penahannah. Penahannah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from the city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Penah, his wife, to all her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Isn't that sweet? He loved Hannah, and although the Lord closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her, and therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the door of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Now, that's an intense story that a lot of times we don't take the time to read. But we're talking about that place in prayer as a New Testament believer that we can be that's different, but we can still learn some things from those Old Testament heroes. This is a woman of strength. This is a woman of character. Can you imagine that kind of anguish that she was dealing with? Not only was she without child and she wanted and had a desire for a child, but she was being heckled. She was being belittled by the other wife. Now, I think it's interesting that she still kept her heart toward God in the middle of that anguish. And so there's a couple of things that kind of jumped out in me when it comes to Hannah, and that we can learn from these things in our own lives. First of all, Hannah leaned on the relationship she had with God. She leaned in on it. You know, when you are a child of God, when you are a born-again child of God, when you're going through difficulty, last week's sermon, Reverend Ennis talked about stuff, right? Everybody has stuff. And when that stuff kind of becomes a little bit overwhelming, we're seated with Him in heavenly places. That's what we started this sermon out with, and this entire series out with, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. We're seated with Him in heavenly places. It means He can handle the stuff, right? He can handle it, help you with that stuff, but it's all about a relationship that we would actually lean in on that relationship. So, Hannah had the relationship of that day. She had what she could have. This woman, she called herself a maidservant. That means she was a devoted, godly woman. She was not a wild living person. Apparently, her husband adored her, gave her a double portion. He was favoring her. Also, apparently, he felt bad that she didn't have a child. So he was constantly favoring Hannah. And then at this juncture in her life, she goes to God in prayer. She goes to God with bitterness of soul. You know, sometimes, and I'm just tagging in on Reverend Ennis' message, sometimes those things that that stuff that we deal with, it can really, really get you down in your soulish realm. It really can. It can be a burden that you carry. It could be a burden that when you wake up in the morning, it's just kind of there. You know what I'm saying? It could be the grief of losing a loved one. It could be a relational difficulty. It could be something that you are carrying that could cause you to be burdened, could cause you to be downcast, could even cause you to not want to eat. Right? So I think it's interesting that Hannah actually, she just goes to the Lord. Isn't that the first place we ought to go to? Instead of picking up Facebook and posting our grievance or our junk. Am I right? This day and age, man, I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't post much anymore. There's a reason for that. I can't get entangled with all of the stuff that just gets blasted out there. Also, the other thing I noticed is that on social media, I'm just going to meddle here just for a second. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Whatever it is. Whatever is the thing that is buzzing everybody, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. It's because that's the way our society is. Everybody's going on to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing that's going to make them mad. Okay? And I think social media is driven right now by anger. So I think what we got to do, we got to step back as people of peace, people of God's word, people of the kingdom of God, and seek that peace. Seek that peace. I'm not saying you don't stand up where you need to stand up. Okay? So don't misinterpret what I'm saying. When there's injustice, you got to stand up. But sometimes social media doesn't even really give you that opportunity. It's not really a great platform for that. I think prayer is a much better platform. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Okay. All right. So Hannah was bitter in heart. She goes to the Lord. Verse 10, and she was bitter of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, will you indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now that is making a vow before the Lord. That's making a vow before the Lord. I don't recommend that you necessarily make big pronouncement vows before the Lord unless you are really, really willing to fulfill your end of it. This woman was ready. She had been through this time after time after time. She was ready. And when she made that vow, that was also a prayer of faith, because she knew it was God who could open her womb. She knew it was God who could change the circumstance. I am reminded of a personal story that I have told before. I don't tell it that often because I really, for me, I would rather highlight my mom's faith than my own spotlight, if that makes sense. But my mother, when I was 7 years old, I was kind of a sickly child. I picked up every flu bug you could think of. I was out of school more than I was in school a lot of times, up until I was about 8 or 9 years old. A lot of time in the hospital, a lot of time in an oxygen tent with child chronic croup. And several times hospitalized, emergency room visits, etc., etc., etc. So when I was 7 years old, I picked up some kind of flu bug that was going around my school. And my regular doctor was not available. So my mother, she left her work and she picked me up and she took me to a doctor that a friend of hers recommended. The doctor happened to be a doctor well in his years and getting ready to retire. And he was a doctor of osteopathic medicine, not necessarily disparaging that, just saying that's what he was. He was not your normal MD or your normal pediatrician. And so we went to him. He looked at me and he said, I'll fix him up. And he gave me an adult dosage of a drug that he would not have known that I was highly allergic to.
Oh my God.
So I got an adult dosage of Compazine, which is not a drug we use a lot today, but apparently they do use it for anti-nausea. And by 1 o'clock that morning, I was in a comatose state, and I was in the emergency room. I forget what the medical term is when your body is reacting to something like that, and they weren't sure whether I was going to make it or not. So my mom's in the waiting room with my dad. What's interesting, folks, sometimes when you think people are in coma that it can't hear you, that's not true. Because I vividly remember as a 7-year-old being in a coma and hearing what was going on, not fully understanding what was going on, but hearing, and I can even remember them opening my eyes and flashing lights in my eyes. So, just saying, I felt like I was inside of something and couldn't get out. And I can remember that very vividly. And so my mom prayed in the emergency room. And she prayed and she said, God, if you'll save my son, you can do whatever you want with him. I didn't know this part of the story until I was 18 years old. I did make a recovery. My mom never told me about this part of the story. So I make the recovery, went through some teenage years, not really following God, not really doing the right thing. And then when I finally committed my life to Christ and following him, following after Christ, went off to college to be a business major. First year, came home from break, spring break. I'm 18 years old. And I made an announcement to the family that I was called of God and that I was going to go into the ministry. My mom began to weep. She said, I have to tell you what happened. that night in the hospital at Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center, when she prayed, "God, if you will save my son, you can do whatever you want with him," she said for the only time in her life, even till now, the only time in her life she ever actually heard God really, 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 really speak to her, he said two words, "I will." She kept that as part of her mothering role. And she said, "I never wanted to tell you about that because I didn't want to put any ideas in your head. Because if it was going to be God, it was going to be all God." I made a recovery, as you can see, and God to be glorified. But there is power in a praying mother, in a praying woman, in a praying believer. And I want to tell you that Hannah prayed a similar prayer, except for this time she was like, "God, I want a child." And I look at that and I say, wow, she leaned on the relationship which she had with God, did she not? She also, let's continue on in the story a little bit. She lingered in his presence, didn't she? And it happened as she continued, verse 12, praying before the Lord, Eli watched her mouth. Now God is in the setup here. She lingered in the presence of God. I believe that that is something for us as New Testament believers. I think sometimes we're so quick. We want it quick. We want it now. We come up for a prayer line. We go to prayer 5 minutes before we fly out the door for work, asking God for something big, and we're not lingering in his presence to get the answer. We're not actually waiting long enough to get the answer. I see something in Hannah's life here that hopefully will be an encouragement to each one of us, that we would linger in his presence. Not only would we lean on the relationship, we're seated with him in heavenly places, but we would linger in the relationship long enough to get the answer. Now, under the old covenant, obviously, she got the answer through the high priest. But thanks be to God, we have a high priest, and his name is Jesus. Amen. So when you go before God now, guess who's going to answer you? It's Jesus. So when we come boldly, as the writer of Hebrews says, come boldly into the throne of grace, obtain mercy and help in time of need. So when you need help with your stuff, you come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because you're seated with him in heavenly places. You're not begging, hoping to get in. You're walking in because his blood cleansed you. So when you come in with that prayer, that stuff, right? You don't have to wait for the high priest to give you the answer. Now, Hannah had to wait for the high priest, but she lingered in the presence of God, and we see that the high priest, even in his humanness, didn't understand, thought she was drunk. She still didn't get offended. Hello? In our society today, everybody's getting offended about everything. I'm offended that you're offended, that I'm offended that you're offended. And therefore, I'm offended. And you're probably offended at me because I'm offended at you. And now you are. And so what happens here is Hannah still didn't get offended, even though she was accused of being drunk. She answered respectfully, right? She's like, "No, my Lord, I'm not drunk. I didn't even touch strong drink. I didn't even touch a glass of wine." Right? She said, "I'm just your maid. I'm just a maidservant." God answered her through Eli. "Go in peace," verse 17, "and the God of Israel grant you your petition which you've asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way, and her face was no longer sad. She doesn't have a child. But I want you to know something. Because of her faith, she was lifted. We're talking about lift. Her prayer was leaning on a relationship with God. She lingered in his presence. When she got the answer, even though the answer was not even tangible, that reminds me of faith, doesn't it? Now faith is. In fact, keep your finger here. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're talking about praying in faith. We're talking about being lifted in our prayer life. Being lifted in your prayer life, my prayer life. I believe that God wants to bring encouragement to us, that we would lean in on that relationship. We wouldn't just rest on past, but lean in on the relationship, right? Now faith, verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hannah walked away and her face was no longer sad.
Right.
There's something to be said about being lifted in faith, that even if I don't have the answer yet, I'm not sad about it anymore. Even if my stuff is trying to get me down, I can still put a face that says I trust God. It's not over until it's over.
That's right.
So I can keep in faith and not allow my face to be down. Why? I lean on the relationship. I linger in his presence. I just stay there just for a moment. Do you know, I think that so often, the time we spend complaining to our friends and neighbors, whether we use social media or not, used to be the telephone. Now it's Twitter and everything else, that we would just kind of complain and gripe. That kind of time that we used to use, that, you know, on the telephone or on social media, if we would just linger in his presence, just linger in his presence. Turn on some worship music in your house. Turn on some worship music in the car. Turn off the radio. And just, Lord, I just thank you for the answer. I don't have it right now, but I know you've got it. And Lord, I thank you for that. And what are you going to do? You are leaning in on that relationship. You're going to linger in his presence. And you know, sometimes you just need to shut up.
Wow.
And I don't use that term lightly. Because in my house, we're not allowed to say that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you need to just zip the lips.
Yeah.
And listen. Because God will grant you what you're asking. He will give you direction. He will give you wisdom. In that moment of lingering, that's where there's a connection made and you can be lifted. You can be lifted out of that junk.
Yeah.
And Hannah gives us a perfect example of what happened. And we see in her life, and we're not going to take all the time this morning just for time's sake, that we see that Samuel was eventually born.
Yep.
Verse 19. And they arose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord, returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her.
Amen.
So they got together. We won't go into detail. So it came to pass in the process of time, verse 20, that Hannah conceived and bore a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah in his house went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever.
Amen.
This is a woman of faith. This is a woman that says, God, if you give me that request, I'm going to do my part. Not only am I going to do my part and raise him where no blade is going to touch his hair, right? Is that the deal?
That's right.
She raised him in a holy environment. And she said, you know what? When he's weaned, I'm giving him over to the service of the Lord. She gave him back to God. Now, for some parents in here, that's a good thing to know. Because if you've given your child to God, you gave him to God. And sometimes we want to hang on. We want to control. We want to do this. You gave him to God.
Yes.
I'm reminded of my mother. Lord, if you'll save him, heal him, you can do whatever you want with him. Why? Because she gave me to God. The kind of prayer that we can learn from is a kind of prayer that leans on a relationship with Almighty God. Aren't you glad we've got Jesus?
That's right.
The kind of prayer that lifts us is the kind of prayer that can handle the list. Did you know that? God can handle your list, your stuff.
Yep.
Give him the list. He can handle it. Linger in his presence. He'll give you the answer. He'll give you the guidance, the direction that you're looking for. And he will lift you out of that situation. And your face will no longer be sad. Because that's where faith and prayer come together. And you will see God do mighty things in your life. Praise God. Praise God forevermore. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, for ministering encouragement to us as believers. Encouragement, Father, to us, Father God, in our relationship with you. Whether we're parents, whether we're aunts, uncles, spiritual parents to people, Father, that you would put us in those places, Father, to intercede on others' behalf and to see answers come. Father, I pray for an encouragement to come to each person listening to this message today, that they can be lifted and that their face could be sad no more. Father, that they would linger in your presence. They would even list what they need to list, their stuff, the things that are burdening them. Father, I'm reminded of what your word tells us in the New Testament, to cast our care on you, for you care for us. And so, Father, we rest in that relationship in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you're here today or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. In just a moment, we're just going to pray together. And if you've never asked Jesus into your life, it's real simple. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess him with your mouth, you will be saved. But what does that mean? That means you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins. You accept his forgiveness. And you call him the Lord of your life. Now that's no small thing. That means, Lord, I give you control of my life. Remember Hannah and her vow to God was a serious vow. When you follow Jesus, you're saying, I'm forsaking my old life to get a new one. So if that's you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're watching online, I want you to just pray this simple prayer with me. Those of us that are here, we're going to pray it for you, just a way of encouragement. Let's pray this out loud. Say, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead for me. I receive his forgiveness, and I call him my Lord and my Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you know, you're rededicating your life. If that's you, I want you to message us on Facebook. We'd like to send you some things to help you in your walk with God. Also, you're also welcome to join us right here in person or live every week on Facebook Live, either Wednesday evenings or on Sunday mornings right here. We want to help you in your walk with God and your growth with God. Praise God. I want to again wish all the mothers that are watching, all the mothers that are here, a very, very happy and blessed Mother's Day. And if you need prayer for anything, prayer for healing, prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's a spiritual experience that will take your prayer life even deeper. If that is something that you desire, we'd like to help you. We'd like to pray for you in those things, whether it be healing, whether it be being filled with the Holy Spirit. We want you to be taken care of and ministered to. Praise God. Let's close with our sending out verse right now. Hallelujah. The Word of God tells us in Psalm 121, 7 and 8, the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121.